by any means necessary.
Welcome back to By Any Means Necessary on Radio Sputnik in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Eugene Perrier, here with Sean Blackman. And as always, we're your guide to connecting the political, social, and economic movement shaping the world around us. And we are back here turning our attention to Haiti. And we are very happy to be joined for this conversation by Kim Ives, who's the editor of the English section of Haiti Liberté. Kim, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Eugene. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, and Kim, last time we talked, Haitian President Jovenel Moïse seemed pretty confident that he could maintain his position in defiance of a raging protest in the streets. But the images we've been seeing lately coming from Haiti, not that you would know from the silence of the mainstream media, shows that not only have protests in Haiti not abated, but that Jovenel's presidency seems to really be in serious trouble here. And I believe that Haiti Liberté was actually on the ground there in Haiti recently to capture some of this. So I'm curious what you all's experience were like there and how you all are seeing this moment playing out.
Yes, the situation is very, very grave for Jovenel Moïse. And Haiti Liberté is always on the ground. We do have an office down there, but I myself was down there this 2 weeks ago. I'm pretty sure within the next week or so, Jovenel has got to go. Not just the masses of Haiti are against him, but the entire bourgeoisie has realized that he cannot hold any longer, and they've even put themselves together. Well, there are really two fronts which have put together two different commissions for a transition. So one is associated with a front, which is called the Patriotic Forum of Papai. And that has, I think it probably the U.S. Embassy behind it. It has most of the big bourgeoisie. It has the head of the Episcopal Church, a guy called Edouard Pault. And it has the unions. It has social, civil society organizations, human rights groups, etc. So my guess is that they are going to probably emerge as the dominant, commission. There is another commission put forward by the other opposition front, which is called the Alternative Consensus for Refounding Haiti, and they have put together a commission of about 8 to 10 people of different stripes, going from the sort of social democratic left to the extreme right. A lot of former government officials, people like Lydie Perron, academics like Antoine Augustin, but even a former Leopard, Duvalierist Leopard Force commander called Himmler Rebu. So in any case, everybody is waiting for the shoe to drop. The U.S. Embassy has been completely silent. Of course, the slightest sign from them would affect things very majorly. But right now, today as we speak, the U.N. is finally, after 15 years, withdrawing its forces from Haiti. And so it appears to be in Haitian hands, even though we can be sure behind the scenes, the U.S. Embassy and various other agencies of the U.S. government are working hard to get their people into the provisional government, which will be soon to come.
Yeah, and I'm glad you touched on the issue of the internal political situation in Haiti, Kim, because, I mean, there's been some strife there, to say the very least, here recently. I mean, there was the resignation of First Prime Minister Jean-Guy Lafontaine. You know, not so long after that, the second PM, Jean-Henri Saint, was put out of power as he tried to maneuver himself into the presidency as Moïse's replacement. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it almost seems as though Haiti is basically functioning with no government at this point.
Yeah, there is no government. There hasn't been since March. Just for to refresh listeners who may not know, you have a president who is the head of state, and he is elected every 5 years. Then he chooses a prime minister who is the head of government, who is ratified by the parliament. But the two people that Jovenel Moïse, the president, has nominated since the ouster of Seyan back in March, Lapin, a guy called Lapin, L-A-P-I-N, aptly translates as rabbit. He is kind of rabbit-like. And then his replacement, after he could not even get a hearing in the parliament, was a guy called Fritz William Michel. Neither of them have been able to get ratified. And so essentially you have no government since March.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I found sort of interesting, Kim, was how this grassroots effort, if you will, called Operation Find Jovenel, which is pretty unambiguous, I think. But it seems as really, though, there's kind of a list of officials in Haiti that are being targeted by the people there. And I think it speaks to sort of, you know, the long memory of the folks in Haiti. I mean, there seems to be a direct connection here with the country's history of destabilization and underdevelopment. I mean, you know, the ousting of Jean-Claude Baby Doc Duvalier in 86, the U.S.-backed 1991 coup against the democratically elected John Bertrand Aristide. And, you know, it just seems obviously that the folks in Haiti are clear about a lot of the roots of their issue there and are seeking to perhaps in their own way hold those responsible to account.
Yeah. Well, no, the situation has become so fragile that everything is stopping. Right now, today is the 15th. That is the 25th anniversary of the U.S. troops returning Jean-Bertrand Aristide to power in 1994. That was seen as kind of a watershed. I mean, that was Bill Clinton who was essentially reversing the coup d'etat, which was carried out by George Bush I in 1991. But they brought Aristide back essentially in a cage, and he was more or less commissioned to bring about the neoliberal transformation of Haiti's economy, that is, nationalize its state industries, cut its tariffs, lay off workers and officials from the government to make it, quote-unquote, streamlined, et cetera. And that didn't work out very well because Aristide basically resisted, dragged his feet on most of the directives he got, and in the end, the whole thing sort of collapsed. They ended up giving Aristide the heave-ho in 96, even though the people were asking him to stay on to recoup his 3 years out of power. He was reelected. They made another coup. So, you know, we've had this history of the people sort of pushing through elections their choice into power, and then the U.S. government, in conjunction with the French and Canadians, the other two principal imperialist powers in Haiti, cutting down that government. And what we see today is really the dysfunction that results from that. I mean, they were supposed to have today, Jovenel Moïse, the president, was supposed to be inaugurating the court to the reopening of the courts, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't get the security together for it. And they'd also planned to have a ceremony marking the end of the UN occupation force in Haiti, which was first called MINUSTA, the UN mission to stabilize Haiti, and then MINUSJUST, the UN mission to support justice in Haiti. But that ceremony also had to be canceled. So you really have the just desserts of essentially 3 decades of meddling by the U.S., Canada, and France in Haiti.
Yeah, and that definitely seems to be the case. And a moment ago, you were talking about how we've not heard any public pronouncements one way or the other from the United States Embassy, and that it's likely that they're, you know, doing their own maneuvers behind the scenes. I do think that's quite likely. But when you say that any pronouncement from the U.S. Embassy, if I remember what you said correctly, Kim, could have a significant impact, I was wondering if you could expound some upon that.
Yeah, well, the ambassador Cisson is not quite as proactive or reactive or outspoken as some previous U.S. ambassadors in Haiti. But nonetheless, the U.S. government has for really since the 1915 U.S. military occupation of Haiti, that is 104 years ago, had a disproportionate role in Haiti, even though Haiti was the first independent nation of Latin America and has always been something of a resistor to the U.S. power in this hemisphere. But the U.S. Embassy has had that disproportionate role and in many cases is seen justly so as sort of the power behind the throne, as it were, whoever is the president. Of course, that wasn't the case when President Aristide was there because he wasn't their choice. He wasn't the guy they wanted to see. And so that's why they gave him a coup d'etat twice. So, you know, some of this may be due to the sort of dysfunction that's happening in the State Department now because of the war within the U.S. ruling class between Trump and the what shall we call it, the deep state, the globalists. And so, as we know, there's been quite a bloodletting in the State Department. And I think to some extent, the U.S. has not been as hands-on as it would have been if things were going as usual. And we would have probably seen Jovenel Moïse already out. But definitely the situation has gotten to a point where the country is completely shut down. When I was there at the beginning of the month, I think I was speaking with you, the situation was just untenable. I mean, there's nothing is functioning. Stores are all shuttered. Schools are shuttered. Government offices are shuttered. Everything is closed down. The streets are impassable. There are barricades everywhere. People are foraging for food in piles of garbage on the street, which isn't being collected. So this is this sort of nightmarish situation that Haiti is going through right now. And as much as Haitians have gone through tough times in the past several decades, this is the absolute worst I've seen it in my many years of covering the situation there.
You know, it's an interesting point, Kim, and I'm, you know, this is obviously complete and total speculation here, but I think your points are very well taken on sort of the U.S. silence here, which always makes me wonder what could be waiting in the wings. You know, earlier in October, Senator Marco Rubio, who of course has called on the president to step down, made an interesting statement. It was kind of a side statement that not a lot of people picked up on, but he was referencing Haiti, and he said, you know, having elections doesn't make a country a democracy. And of course, you know, he said recently we're not going to intervene. But I just wonder what the likelihood you think could be that the United States could go for a strongman strategy here in Haiti, particularly in the context of wanting to keep Haiti on side vis-a-vis the Venezuela situation.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. That's their biggest worry, I think, right now. They're so focused on keeping every lackey they can in their front against Venezuela and Haiti. As we've said before on this program, in January of this year, basically flipped and went from supporting Venezuela in the past to saying Maduro is illegitimate. And the U.S. wants to keep him, and Rubio wants to keep him in his camp. So they have a very difficult situation. There is no clear sort of candidate to replace Chovenel. It may be out of this, as I mentioned moments ago, in this new alliance of sort of businessmen headed by a guy actually called Bernard Cron, who is sort of a kind of a liberal bourgeois figure. And they've got the unions in it. They've got the human rights groups, some peasant organizations. So they've got enough sort of popular color to sell it. So it's my feeling that the strongman that you represent, you reference, may come out of that somehow. But the other option is yet another foreign military intervention. The population went massively into the street on October 4th after the Security Council had a quote-unquote brainstorming session on October 3rd. And essentially they said, you cannot come back in here. We want our sovereignty. We don't want the UN back in. So it's going to be very hard, now that the UN is out, for them to, I think, bring it back in. So, yeah, my feeling is where we're heading is some kind of probably a junta, not a military junta, but a group of politicians, maybe a businessman, popular organization leader, a human rights guy. They'll make some sort of provisional government with that. And we're going to enter a period, I'm pretty sure, Eugene and Sean, of provisional government after provisional government, as we saw in the years following the fall of the Duvalier dictatorship in 1986.
Well, certainly a lot there. Very interesting moment here, obviously, in Haiti, with deep repercussions for the whole hemisphere. We are going to have to leave it there for now. As always, Kim, really appreciate you joining us here on the show. We're going to go to a break here on By Any Means Necessary on Radio Sputnik in Washington, D.C. We will, however, be back, so stay with us.
By any means necessary.